carries God's masterpiece. I just think God's amazing. I think He's wonderful and beautiful. And just like last week, we heard about God as a star breather, that He breathed out the stars, that He created everything that we see. And He's so amazing. He spoke, and it was. He spoke, and that which didn't exist, existed. He said, let there be dry ground, and let there be ocean, separating the water and the land, and it happened. He said, let there be sun and stars and moon, and it happened. He said, let there be animals, there be birds, let there be fish, there be trees and shrubs, and everything that crawls on the face of the earth, and all the things that fly in the air, and all the things that swim in the water, and it was. God spoke it out, and it was. This is the amazing God we serve. He created everything by the word of His mouth. And then God created man in Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 30. He said, God spoke. He said, let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature so they could be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, the earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Then God said, I've given you every sort of seed-bearing plant on earth and every kind of fruit-bearing tree, given them to you for food. To all animals and all birds, everything that moves and breathes, I give whatever grows out of the ground for food. And there it was. And God made mankind. The pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of His creation. God spoke out and said, let there be dogs and let there be cats. But when He created mankind, this is what the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 7. God formed man out of the dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. The man came alive, a living soul. God created mankind to bear His image, to rule and have dominion over the earth. He actually formed us from the dust of the ground and breathed His life into us, and we became a living soul. Eternal. God's image. Never before and never since has God done that. God created us to be His masterpiece. I mean, we can't even begin to understand how amazing God is. I think as more and more science looks at things and they see the big, they have the Hubble Space Telescope and they can see further and further out. And they're realizing more and more that they can never, ever reach or fully understand everything there is to know about nature. And they're making these magnifying telescopes or microscopes that will actually look at things that are smaller and smaller. And every time they think they've found the smallest thing, they find something smaller. And they realize and comprehend that they can never, ever, ever find and understand completely what it is that God created. And God took us and made us the pinnacle of His creation. God took His time and formed us from the dust of the ground. This is what Psalm 33, verse 6 to 9 says. The heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars were by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the water in the sea like a dam and puts the ocean in His storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all who live in the world stand in awe of Him. He spoke and it came into being. He gave the order, and there He stood. There it stood. God, amazing, powerful, awesome. We sometimes treat God like He's just like one of us, but He's not one of us. We're like Him, but God is awesome and mighty and all-knowing and all-powerful and all-wise. He's amazing. The one who breathed out the stars. Remember last week, if the earth was a golf ball? If you think about, He breathed out the stars. The largest star Canis Majoris, they said that if the earth was a golf ball, the size of a golf ball, and the amount of golf balls it would take to fill that star would cover the state of Texas 22 inches deep. I don't know if you've ever been to Texas, but you start driving across that state, it's like driving across Ontario. It's huge. 22 inches deep. God made that, but God also made us. He formed us. I don't know about you, I was really bad at art. I was horrible at it. And remember when you used to have to make like people out of Play-Doh? Or you used to have to draw people? Well, if I was God, there would be a really lot of ugly people, stick people walking around the planet. But some people could really do some cool things and make things look real. But the amazing thing is that after God formed us and made us, He breathed His breath into us. He filled us with His essence, with His being. God invested in us huge. And He wants us to know that He loves us and we're His masterpiece. You're His masterpiece. We became a living and eternal being. We are His workmanship, created to be like Him. I think that it's really cool that even though God was big enough to breathe out stars like Canis Majoris, that He is still interested in the little details of our life. Because we were watching this video this morning, and it seems kind of simple, but really God is that involved in our life if we'll let Him be. God wants to work the things out and help us as we go through this life. But God's interested in the tiniest details of our life. Things like little details in our DNA strand. Thinking maybe this person would look cool with freckles, or this one with red hair, or this one should be a little taller, and this one should be a little shorter. And God took the time and made the effort to make us all unique and special and different. That He created this little protein adhesion molecule called laminin, that if you put it under a high-powered microscope, it's the form of a cross. It looks like a cross. Really cool. Thinking that God's probably thinking, 6,000 years ago when He created us, that they're going to be able to see this for a long, long time. But one day they're going to build a microscope that's going to be able to blow this thing up, and they're going to see these little tiny crosses, and they're going to think, this is so cool. Yeah. I really think that God really rejoices when we start to understand the amazing way that He created us. How much He loves us. How much He invested in us. How much He cares about us. God doesn't make junk. God made you as His masterpiece. Even though we as a human race have turned our backs on God and rejected His love and His authority, Jesus was still willing to give His life on a cross. To lay down His life on the cross for you and for me so that we could once again get connected to God and His purpose and His plan for our life. So that we could come into that place where He could restore us. So He could make us the way He wanted us to be. As we sang that song this day, take my heart. Make it new. Make it like you. That's what He wants to do. He wants to make you over into His image. And into His, He wants to take what was created by Him to be perfect and to live with Him. And what has been hurt by sin, by pain, by rejection. He wants to restore it. All of us were damaged or run down by sin and its hold on our life. But Jesus wants to restore us back to His image. We all know the stories about lost works of art where they find, what was that show they used to have on TV? Yeah, the Antique Roadshow, where they would, find old pictures in behind other pictures, and they would find stuff in attics, and then they would go to the work of restoring them, of making them new. And it was tedious. It was really particular kind of job. It was a job that took effort and time and care and love. And that's what God really is willing to do and spend on us. He has found us and He wants us to become the person He created us to be. God wants to do that work in our lives. Through the work of the cross and by the power of His Word practically applied to our life. His Word is powerful. His Word is light. His Word is life to us. It's what we need more than anything else. Is Jesus in our life, and we need to put His Word in our hearts. David said that in Psalm 119, I'll hide your words in my heart so that I won't sin against you. God wants to do this work in us. Do you want Him to do that? Do you want Him to do that work to take His chisel and to form you? To take away the things that aren't of Him? To take away the things that maybe are separating you from Him? Things that maybe aren't so bad but really aren't so good? Will you allow Him that work in your life? Can you relate to the guy when he was praying that prayer? God, I give you everything today. I just want to be like you. I don't really see how that can be, but I want it to be. God wants that. He wants us to want to be who He wants us to be. He wants to do that work of love in our life. So today, we're going to talk about the restoration process that God wants to work out in our life. To remove the damage of sin, the pain and the distortion that sin has caused in our lives, and to restore us to God's original masterpiece. One of the scriptures that really stands out to me when I think about becoming that person that God wants us to be is found in Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. It says, Christ chose some of us to be apostles, prophets, missionaries, pastors, and teachers, so that His people would learn to serve and His body would grow strong. In verse 13, this verse, so that this will continue until we are united by our faith and by our understanding of the Son of God. Then we will be mature, just as Christ is, and we will be completely like Him. That's the goal. That's what we want to become. We want to become like Him. Sorry about this. Like Him. To grow up in Him, to be mature and to be fully restored to our original beauty that God created us as. The question is, will we let Him? Because the whole deal about becoming God's original masterpiece, becoming that person that God has purified and worked in and taken the edges off is that it's our decision. We have to decide. God will not force it on us. That was the deal. He gave us free choice. He gave us the decision to decide whether to follow Him or not to follow Him, whether to serve Him or not to serve Him, whether to yield our life to Him or not to yield our life to Him. So the decision is yours today. It's yours every day. It's yours every time that you pick up His Word and you bow your head in prayer and you ask Him to touch you and change you. It's your decision, but you have to make it. God won't make it for you. He can't make it for you. It's not God holding back from doing it. It's us, by our decisions, holding God back from doing that work in our life. It will not be an easy process, right? Those of us who are in this process realize there's some times where it's just not always fun. There's just some things in us that are a little bit harder to deal with. It's a little harder to see. It's a little bit harder to be challenged by than other things. But God will bring us through it if we'll allow Him. And on the other side of it, it will be great. I think so much of people that, and myself at times, where I've sort of said, God, I want to do this myself. I want to direct you. I want to show you what I think needs to be done. But that's not the point. The point is we need to give ourselves to God. So the first point this morning is, do you want to direct God? Or do you want to allow God to do His work in you? I was thinking about it yesterday. We were, myself and my boys were out planting some trees. And we planted trees together since the boys really were old enough to walk. And we were out there planting trees. And Logan is just starting to become you know, a man, and he's starting to learn how to handle a shovel, and he's strong enough now to actually dig holes. And so I'm watching him, and I'm thinking, oh, I just want to help him because he's struggling and he's pushing. It's a little wet out yesterday, and I just want to show him and just fix up the hole a little bit, just do this little thing and do this little thing for him. And in that situation, it's all right. It's cool because I'm the guy instructing and he's the guy learning. But I was thinking about when we planted the shrubs here at the church, and my friend Paul was here, who it's his job, it's his livelihood, it's what he knows, it's what he understands. And he was teaching us how to plant shrubs and trees, and I was listening and learning from him. Well, in that situation, it would be wrong for me to tell him how to plant the tree. And so many times, we look at our life and we say, God, this is what I think is the primary thing that needs to go. I think that really, there's a lot of times that God wants to work in our life in a particular area. And we want him to work in some other area. Maybe something more obvious, maybe something more that other people would notice that God was working in us. But God wants to work. We have to decide, though, if we'll let him do the work or if we will just do our own thing. Last week we watched that video about the greatness and the splendor of God, about all the things that he does, like the breathing stars and creating everything and making the little crosses, and this God that just knows everything and is so amazing and so wild and so wonderful. We learned about that. And we still at times, even though we know how big God is, we still choose to think that maybe we know better than God. Maybe not with our mouth, we don't say that, but with our actions, we live that. Excuse me. I think so many times of how God has been at work in my life, and I say, God, I really think that this is the thing. Or I think this is the thing. And God has to show me and reveal to me and keep working in me until I look back at my life and I say, yes, God, that was it. I mean, there's some times where God, we want God to deal with maybe our bad attitude because sometimes that shows up. But God instead wants to deal with our pride because that's the root of our bad attitude. Sometimes we think when someone gets saved and gives their heart to Jesus that the smoking and the drinking or whatever is the big deals, when God really wants to get to the issues of the heart and really work in there. Sometimes we think it's somebody's too big of a gossip, but God really just wants to get to the heart and really touch on their insecurities. And we don't know, but God, if we will allow God, God will work in us. Do we really, really understand who God is? Do we ever just take the time to just maybe lay back? This sounds maybe a little bit hippie-ish, but just to lay back in the grass on a beautiful, clear night and just look at all the stars around us and imagine the wonder and the beauty of God and how huge he is, that the Bible says that he holds the universe and the expanse of his hand. Like, this God that we know, this God that created us, this God that loved us so much he gave his son for us, can we even begin to fathom the depths of his love? I mean, I could probably lay down my life for someone. I wouldn't be really that happy to do it. And I wouldn't really say I'd be standing in line. Yeah, pick me. But I'm telling you, if it's my kid's life at stake, I can't fathom that. I cannot understand the love that it would take to send my son to save anybody. But this God we serve loved us in that way. This God we serve spoke and things came to be. It's like, let there be grass. I love to do that sometimes. Just walk into a place and go, let there be grass. Because it's a lot easier than working it up and planting the seed and doing all that. But God does that. If God said, let there be a three-headed dog at your garbage can tomorrow morning, there'd be a three-headed dog at your garbage can, because this is the God we see. He's huge. His words, when he speaks, they're creative. When we think about the wonder of a baby, I remember when Christine was pregnant with Levi and we were going to these classes, you know, and they were teaching us about, you know, delivery and all this. And They gave us this little plastic thing. They called it a fetus, and it was like about this small, and it was like 12 weeks long, and I think that's what Christine was at the time. I'm like a blubbering idiot sitting in this classroom because I'm thinking, that's how big my boy is. And just to see already how much that he was formed and how much detail and how that, you know, like they live inside a womb for 9 months and then all of a sudden they spring out and they scream and let the whole world know they're there. And then they just, you know, they grow into these amazing, wonderful people. This is because of God. Do we actually know the God we serve? If we do, do we want to keep instructing him? Do we want to keep telling him how to do it? Do we really believe in him? Do we actually believe that he has our best interest in mind? Do we actually believe that he loves us more than we could even love ourselves? Do we believe that? Because if we do, then we could trust him to have his way in our life. To sing that song, do as you will. Do what you will, do what you will. Because if we really trust him, if we really believe in him, if we really believe he is the God that was willing to let his son die on the cross for you and me, we should believe that he has our best interest in mind. Do we really think that we know better than he does what needs to be done in our life and which order it should be accomplished? I remember when I was putting together all my office furniture, you know, like I had all these boxes of stuff that came from the Business Depot, and it was like just boxes, flat boxes, and it was supposed to be a desk and a bunch of shelves and, you know, a computer desk and a filing cabinet and all this stuff. And it was all supposed to go together. And I'm a pretty smart guy. And I look and I said, well, this is simple. I'll put it together. And I start putting it together. And I put it together. And when I got it together, there was a whole bunch of parts here that wouldn't fit quite right. And I'm like, well, this is dumb. They made this thing wrong. It doesn't work. It's like the way they built this is wrong. They must have put the wrong parts in the wrong box. Because I put it together. It made sense to me. But they don't all fit. You ever have that, guys? It's just like you look at it and you say, what's wrong with this stupid thing? It should work. But then I had to take it all apart again. Because what I realized is if I would have put it together in the right order, it would have all worked really well. And that's what God knows about us. That's what God sees about us. He knows what needs to go. He knows what needs to change. He knows where you need to strengthen your walk with him. He knows where you need to let some things of this world go and follow him. So if we'll let him do it in his order, in his way, he'll do great things in our life. This is what David prayed in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. That's a brave prayer. Even though we know that God knows, just some things that we might like to keep hidden. There's some things that sometimes we just don't want God to really notice about us. But David said, Lord, investigate my life. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. David was willing to allow God to really investigate his life, to really allow him his work in David's life. David wanted to keep moving toward being pleasing to God, to keep allowing God to do a work of restoration in his life. When Pastor Ted was here in the spring for Refresh, he said something that's really been sticking with me, and it was this. He said, God loves you. No strings attached. He loves you. He's crazy about you. He created you. He loves you. And I'm the same about my boys. I love them. They're my boys, and I think they're amazing. No matter what, I love them. I just love them. But they're not always pleasing to me. And there's a lot of times that God loves us, but we're not pleasing to him. Because that's an act of our will. And God wants us to become pleasing. And that was a big deal in David's life. David wanted to please God above all else. I remember when David went through the thing with Bathsheba where he had an affair with his friend's wife. He got her pregnant. Then he killed his friend. And then he hid it. And then he was confronted by the prophet Nathan. And then he repented before God. And this is the words he said. God, against you and you only have I sinned. Because in his life, God was the primary person. God was the big deal, the whole thing it was about. To be pleasing to God was his desire and his goal. And that's what we need to be like. We need to be allowing God to work in us. To do a work of restoration in our life. I say this because so many people act like it's out of their control. That we are just who we are. We just are who we are. I used to say that. God created me this way. God must have had a reason for creating me this way. Of course I'm an idiot, but there's a purpose in me being an idiot. So, like, just live with it because this is the way God made me. It's not out of our control. We have the ability to be formed into the image of God. And it's what God wants to do in us. God loves you. He thinks you're great. He thinks you're amazing. But He loves you too much to leave you where you are. He loves you too much for that. So, 15 years down the road from that comment, God's working in me. God's changing me. I'm not the same person I was then because I realized there were some things that about my personality and my character that God created me for. But there were some things that sin had distorted and messed with. And I needed God to remove and to work in those parts of my life so that I could be restored into His image. The ball's in your court. You must decide whether or not you want God to work in your life, to chisel away the things that don't belong so that the original image could be revealed. We often choose to do our own thing and live in our own way and then blame God when we feel empty or unfulfilled. You ever feel that way? Empty, unfulfilled, away, really, from God, disconnected from Him? I hate that feeling. But it's a feeling, it's a moment in time that I choose in a lot of ways because God is always trying to connect with us. God is in love with us as His children and He wants to love us and pour His love on us. We don't ever have to be disconnected from Him. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. So we don't ever need to be disconnected, but we can choose in our hearts to be disconnected. We need to stay close to Him. It's not God's plan for your life for you to feel unfulfilled and empty. It's not God's plan for your life to stay in a place of sin, a place of brokenness, a place of loneliness, a place of disconnection. Never God's plan for you to be there. God's plan is much better than that. But this is, He's much better. And you need to decide to follow Him and allow His work in your life. In Luke 9:23-25, it says, "Then He told them what they could expect for themselves. Anyone who intends to come with me," Jesus said, "has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and to lose you, the real you?" It's so important for us to realize that God created us as His people, that God has a plan for our lives. And until we actually step in to that plan that He has, unless we actually keep pushing forward into His presence and into His power, into His Word, we will live lives that are unfulfilled. we will live lives that are disconnected. So, do you want to direct God, the God who created you and the rest of your universe, or do you want to allow Him to have His way in you? The second thing I want to talk about is when you look in the mirror, who do you see? Or really, who do you want to see? Because there's many of us that look at ourselves in the mirror and we see our brokenness, we see our dysfunction, we see our sin, we see all these things. But the truth is that God wants us to see ourselves in Christ as new creations, as His redeemed people, as His blood-bought people, as His masterpiece. I'm going to say this a lot. So if it gets on your nerves, well, get over it. Do you see yourself in all your weaknesses and shortcomings, or do you see yourself in Christ? This is the real process we have to embrace as Christians, the process of learning to live in Christ, to allow His work in us, to allow Him to change us. The process of becoming Christ-like. It's what God wants for us, is to become like His Son, to carry, let this mind be in you, the Bible says, that was also in Christ Jesus. We sometimes struggle so much in our own strength to figure out and work out what sin or shortcoming we should deal with next. But if we could have worked this out or become righteous in our own strength, we would not have a need for Jesus to save us. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't fix it ourselves. We couldn't figure it out. It was impossible. Most of us live with Jesus today. At least we claim to. And sometimes we still have a hard time figuring it out and getting it together. But God wants us to be in Him. In James chapter 1, verse 16 to 25, it's a bit of a long piece, I want to read it. Don't be fooled, my dear friends. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father who created all lights in heaven, in the heavens. He is always the same and never makes dark shadows by changing. He wants us to be His own special people. And so He sent the true message to give us new birth. The true message. Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. The Word of God made flesh. My dear friends, you should be quick to listen and slow to speak or to get angry. If you are angry, you cannot do any of the good things that God wants done. What this verse is actually saying is that so many times we try and be this, we try and set our jaw, we try and set ourselves and say, I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that. And we try and work it out in our own way. We try and do it through our own willpower, through our own strength. And He's saying, don't do it that way. You must stop doing anything immoral or evil. Stop. He gives us the power to stop. If He didn't, He wouldn't ask us to do it. God is not some evil trickster that's sitting in heaven going, do this, and then laughing at us because we're not able. Stop doing anything immoral or evil. Instead, be humble. Be humble. And accept the message that is planted in you to save you. Obey God's message, the Word of God. Don't fool yourself by just listening to it. If you hear the message and don't obey it, you are like people who stare at themselves in a mirror and forget what they look like as soon as they leave. Just for an example, so we understand what this means. I'm a guy who has a hard time eating neatly, and usually I'll end up with something on my clothes. And if I'm the kind of person that is a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word, it means I go to the mirror and I look and I say, well, I have this on my face and I've got a little spot here. And then I walk away from the mirror and I go somewhere and I still have the thing on my face and the spot on my shirt. This is not the way God wanted us to live. He didn't want us just to have the Word so we could identify that we have a problem. But He wanted us to have His Word so that we could be changed by it, by doing it, by living it. But you must never stop looking at the perfect law that sets you free. You must never stop looking at the perfect law that sets you free. That's God's Word. God will bless you in everything you do if you listen and obey. And don't just hear and forget. It's God's word that will begin the restoration work in your life. And it's your obedience to it and action on it that will once again reveal the you that God created you to be. It's not enough to just read the word of God. It's important. It's good. It's right. We should read it. But then we should take what we hear, what we learn, and we should do it. This one young guy I know was reading in James, and the Bible was talking in James about, you know, the tongue and how we use our tongue. And he said to me that, you know, like God's really speaking to me about how I use my tongue. God's really been speaking to me about what I'm saying. And I'm really making plans and ways so that I don't say this anymore. So I don't use my tongue and my language in that way anymore, because I want to serve God. I want to follow Him. And that's what it takes. It takes hearing the Word of God and coming to change in your life. It's like we read, you know, be humble. God gives grace to the humble. And God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. And be humble. And then we walk away and we're not humble. Because we think that humble means that, you know, like we open the door for somebody or something. I don't know. But being humble means putting someone else ahead of yourself. It's about not thinking about yourself as you're something great. It's about being willing to take a second place or a third place or fourth place in line instead of the front place. It's about pushing someone else to the front instead of trying to make your way crawling over them. It's against the world system. It's like not climbing the corporate ladder. It's trying to push others up the ladder. That's humility. This is one of the big keys to being a Christian, is being humble. Is actually just caring more to see others succeed than it is to see yourself succeed. But we walk away from those kind of verses, and if you read it, it's all through the whole Bible. And we're proud. We're proud when we say that we know the way better than God knows the way. We're proud when we look at others and say, well, they've got a problem that I don't have, so I'm okay. We're proud when we think that somehow we are better than others. We're proud when we keep the gospel to ourselves, because somehow we think we deserve it more than someone else. As somebody was telling me about an old hymn that someone, that they found in a hymn book. It was like, you know what? We are the elect of God. Let all the world be damned. We need lots of room in heaven. Or there's lots of room in hell so that heaven won't be crammed. And it was like, this is pride. And but in a lot of ways, it sounds horrible. But when we walk by our neighbors on the street, when we have an opportunity to share Jesus with someone, and we don't, we're singing that song loud and clear. God cares so much about you. He's given you His word so that it could change you. But we've got to open it, and then we've got to obey it. This verse says that we must never stop looking at the perfect law that sets us free, because it's in reading and meditating upon and hiding the word in our heart that the grip of the world is loosened. It's by doing it that the power of God to transform is unleashed in our life. We wonder why we struggle with the same old things over and over again, because we have a head knowledge that God wants to do something in our life, but we don't ever let Him do it. I just believe that there's something great that God has for us as a church. But we need to yield to His hand. We need to yield to His Word. We need to allow Him to do His work in our life. The Word of God is an amazing gift that gets to the bottom of things in our life. It lays bare how we look today. It lays bare what's true and what's right. And it helps us to become that beautiful masterpiece of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13 says, God means what He says. What He says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. If we'll allow God to use his scalpel to cut into us and say, this is really, you know, like, this is really about you. This isn't about me. You know, like we read the story of the Pharisee that prayed on the street corner, God, I'm so happy that I'm not like that scumbag over there. And he thought he was praying right. He thought he was being holy and he thought he was being righteous, but God's word would reveal to him that that isn't what it was. We need to get into the word of God. If we stay in God's word and we allow his work through it, then eventually what we'll see is a reflection of Jesus looking back at us. So stay in his word. Love his word. Treat his word like food and drink. Most of us won't go without. I mean, I got two teenage boys. They come home, they get off the bus, they're like, I'm hungry, what's to eat? You know? And a lot of us, we will never do without our food. We won't do without drink. But we do without God's word a lot of times. And I just want to challenge you. I just want to encourage you that God has this beautiful thing he's trying to work out in your life. And he wants to do that, but we just need to allow him, first of all, and then we have to do what he tells us to do. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just thank you so much that you created us, that you are wonderful and amazing, unbelievable, unfathomable, wonderful God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you that you love us so much that you want to bring us into that place of total fulfillment, that place of total peace and rest in you. Lord, today I just pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, even as we open your word this week, that you'll reveal to us, Lord, the things in us that you want to do. Lord, that we will, Lord, just look forward to hearing what you want to do in our lives. And Lord, help us to be obedient and strong in carrying out, Lord, what you've called us to do. Lord, I thank you for what I'm seeing, Lord, in your people over this past while, God. How, Lord, people have submitted to your hand. Lord, that they've allowed you to really be the potter and allowed themselves to be the clay, to be molded and made into the image of your Son. But Lord, it's for everyone. It's for all of us, God. So Lord, today I pray that none would leave this place without praying, Lord, and giving themselves totally to you. Lord, without making a commitment to trust you and allow you to do your work in their life. Lord, without making a commitment to not only read your word, but Lord, to obey it. Lord, help us be like David. Lord, that he said, I love your law. I love your word. It's life to me. Lord, that we'd have the courage of David to say, search my heart. Cross-examine me. Know me inside and out. Lord, we love you. We want to please you. So, Lord, we just come to you today as your people and ask you to work in our lives. So change us, we pray. So, let's just stand and let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I ask you today to take control of my life, to be everything to me. Help me to serve you and to follow you. Make me into your masterpiece. Lord, I submit myself to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. sing this worship song together. And if you just need to do business with God, if you need to just say, God, be my all in all, be my everything, then do that. Take a few moments and do that. But don't just make it a thing we do sitting here in church on Sunday morning. Carry it through into your everyday life. God wants to do amazing things in you. God wants you to experience His presence and His power in your life. We need to just press into Him to really allow His work in us. I don't know how else to say it, but allow His work in us. So let's sing this worship song.